Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing voices to power. I do not own the rights to this music. Bringing voices to power network. www.thechildsupporthustle.com. Catch the Child Support Hustle Show Saturdays on the Bringing the Voices to Power Network. United Voices with Sherry Saunders. EmpoweringStrategies.net. Child Support Hustle Show with Kenya Rockman. We're bringing voices to power. With many other activists like Brenda Hampton in Corlin, Alabama, we're bringing awareness to the people.
All right, in this episode of the Child Support Hustle Show, we're going to be talking with author Kenya Rockman, and we're going to open up the phone lines to hear from members of Child Support Hustle and anybody else that want to call in with their stories about what happened to them when it comes to arrearage in debtor's prison. Okay, Kenya, today, tell us a little. First, let's go back. We're going to talk about arrears in debtor's prison, but first, tell us a little bit about Turner versus Roger.
Okay. Hey, Marcus. Hey, everybody that's listening. Turner versus Rogers is a Supreme Court case, and they decided the case in 2011. And basically, they said that the father, who had been repeatedly arrested and incarcerated because he allegedly owed child support debt, arresting him without his right to due process. And they were failing him in discovering whether he could afford to pay the debt or not. And besides that, they were denying his right to an attorney. Now, the Turner versus Rogers decision does not make it a mandate that child support courts have to provide an attorney. However, if jail or incarceration can be the result of a civil suit, then you are entitled to an attorney in that case. So the Supreme Court ruled that not only in South Carolina, where this case originated, but across the nation, that states have to have hearings to determine whether a person can afford to pay the child support debt that they are allegedly owing to the state or the parent. And the agency is supposed to have safeguards in place to determine their the parents, or in some cases non-parents, ability to pay, you know, what their income is. They're supposed to have all of these tools in place before incarceration becomes part of a punishment or issue or arrest warrants issued over this debt.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, it was back in 2011. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that was ruled in 2011, and the ruling was entered into the Federal Register issued by the Department of Health and Human Services on December 20th of 2016. However, people are still being arrested and held in jail without their right to due process, without attorneys, and without any of the safeguards that are that are mandated by the Supreme Court in these child support cases.
Yeah. And one thing that I'm encouraged by is the ACLU, you know, they're stepping up, getting involved in this thing as well when it comes to you know, not only Turner versus Rogers, but also when it comes to debtor's prison. And they just released a statement saying they want to step up efforts to reduce the ability of people to be jailed for failure to appear, even to appear in debt collection proceedings. You know, because you have some people, they will skip court. If they're going to their court knowing that these judges want thousands of dollars that they don't have, and they don't have it, you know, some people just won't even go to court. They'll just wait till they get picked up and try to, you know, live trying to dodge the police, which has got to be psychological. You know, every time you see police everywhere, you around places where things happen, you know, and just like we had the shooting death of a person ran because of his child support situation. So
yeah.
I'm glad to see the ACLU step up and say they're going to step up their efforts to reduce the ability of people to be jailed for failure to appear in a debt collection proceeding. By they're going to pressure these attorney generals and state court rule committees and district attorney's offices and government rulemakers to try to create some type of protections for debtors, because nobody should have to be locked up in jail just for being poor. And the worst thing about this is some of the abusive practices that raise a lot of concerns about, you know, a lot of your civil protections like due process, equal protection, and they even raise some human rights concerns. But all these things that they're doing to people in these child support courts, they're remaining unchecked because there is minimal to no government oversight. Nobody's really overseeing these agencies, so they have been allowed to just simply run rampant.
We've been asking, after we talked to Jay, we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he got a letter after we reached out to Governor Kasich's office, and we received a response saying that Governor Kasich of Ohio denied jurisdiction in these cases, as well as the federal Child Support Enforcement Agency has on numerous occasions denied jurisdiction over these cases where people are being jailed for being poor. So I prepared a letter that I'm asking all our supporters to send out to the local, state, and federal politicians with the hashtag who has jurisdiction, because they're passing it, they're passing the buck, but somebody has to be held accountable for these arrests and for them holding people against their, you know, without their rights being observed.
Yeah, and that's just another way to further that debtor's prison. Nobody wants to take jurisdiction knowing that they are violating, you know, the law against debtor's prison.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just had a man down in Florida. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
A man down in Florida where you were saying that a lot of people will not show up to court. They'll just, you know, go on the run. And they have a man, he's been in the news, father down there in Florida. They say he owes over $500,000 in child support, and he disappeared on a paddle boat. And, no trace, his passport was left behind in his home. But they are more concerned about this child support debt, in my opinion, than they are about his safety. I mean, did he commit suicide? That happens because
God,
a lot of these fathers – or did they, right, but they, you know, they can't find them.
Child support can kill.
Yes. So, yeah, a lot of these guys will go on the run, and ladies. I mean, this affects both moms and mothers and fathers.
Yes, it does. And when we talk about, we're talking about the arrearage, and see, and that's what a lot of times people are really running from, if you really look at it, is that huge amount of arrearage that they be owing.
Oh,
many,
yeah.
You know, many parents that can't afford to keep up the payments, they're going to carry some amount of debt or what they call child support arrearage. And through law, you know, states have the authority to charge interest on that unpaid support. At the right, at you know, it's set at the rate by that state statute, and each state got different statutes. I mean, all of them charge different. For instance, I'm just going to talk about a few out there. The state I'm in, which is Alabama, they're going to charge 7.5%. This was back in 2001. I'm using 2001. Statistics, which, you know, they are very slow to put these stats out there. So there should be some updated. Yeah, it should be some updated. And in other states, like, say, for instance, out in Texas, you know, all of them charging whatever they want to. Texas charges 6%. They charge a 6% simple interest on it from the date that the support is delinquent. And they also charge 6% simple interest from the date the order is rendered, and 6% simple interest rate from the date the report is delinquent. So there's three ways that they can charge you interest in Texas and in Alabama. They charge it from every angle.
And to piggyback off of what you're saying, Marcus, with the interest, I put together the statistics as far as the interest that each state charges, the penalty, the incarceration penalty they charge, the arrears that they have on their books in each state, anybody can go look up on the Child Support Hustle website, and those slides are there, and they're for each state, and it'll give you all those stats.
Yeah. Okay. And one of the things that's really behind this, in my opinion, is, you know, the prison profit that's coming out of all this, because the local entities, they're going to get money from the federal government, from the state and federal government, just for housing these prisoners. And as you see people getting sentenced to longer and longer terms, you're going to see them more willing to do it. And the rubber stamping of these warrants is one thing that I can't get over. I can't get over how a DHR worker can just go file a paper and say, I want this person arrested. This person should be given something by the courts and for them to appear. They shouldn't just be issuing warrants, you know, left and right like they want to. It's like the judges
are totally
illegal. Warrant requests.
It's totally illegal in itself, but it's even more illegal and violates the Constitution and violates the ruling from Turner versus Rogers for them to, when they rubber stamp these warrants without due process rights. So they're openly violating the law and nobody's being held accountable for it.
Uh-huh.
And people think that these debtors' prisons, when you see, like, on social media, debtors' prison, people laugh, those don't exist, debtors' prisons don't exist, and all this and that. And they're absolutely real. They do exist, and we need to put an end to it. Just because it doesn't affect someone directly doesn't mean it's not happening.
Yeah.
Okay, this is, I know they say judges cannot reduce this arrearage because of, you know, the Bradley Amendment, how child support cannot be forgiven or reduced for any reason. But I know that, you know, the Bradley Amendment says that, but there are some programs in some states where they can do that. And one place is like out in California. They have a program called COAP. It's Compromise of Arrearage Program. And that's a program for eligible non-custodial parents to reduce the past due child support they owe to the government. This debt, called arrears, is owed to the government because the state supported the family while the dependent children in a child support case were on public assistance, welfare, or in foster care. What I want to know is, if they can do it in California, then this should be universal. If they got a program where people in California can get that debt reduced, you know, they should have it statewide in all 50 states. I know that they can't reduce the amount owed to the parent, but the state can make some compromise, just like you can make a compromise on a tax debt. Now, if you're able to make a compromise on a tax debt with the IRS, you should be able to make a compromise with it when it comes to child support as well.
They don't want that because it's money that's going to go to the state. And they should have those programs, and they have grants out here that they give to the states in order to operate these debt forgiveness programs. But if you go and look up the stats to find out who's operating this program, who they're helping, the numbers are so low, if they're even offering them at all. It's just not, they're not pushing it, they're not promoting it, they're not exercising these debt forgiveness programs, because if anything should happen to that parent, say it may have life insurance or something like that, that money is going straight to the state. So they don't want to close these debts. But it can happen. I had arrears forgiven against the non-custodial parent in my case. So it can happen. It takes some time and it takes some due diligence, but
yeah,
and of course I was the custodial parent.
Yeah, but see, that's what I like about this program that got out in California, the Compromise of Arrearage Program. And because if you qualify for this program, you'll be able to offer a compromise repayment to the state. So, like, in other words, you can offer to pay an amount that is less than the full amount you owe. And any reduction in the arrears and interest owed will be based on your income and assets. So they'll be able to look at somebody. This person, they can look at this person and be like, hey, this person owed $250,000 in child support. They'll be able to look at this person and be like, this person is probably only worth $5,000 or $6,000. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think they use some type of computer program that helps determine the amount of repayment required and how much the debt will be reduced. The computer. Now, I'd like to see how that program, the computer program, is set up to calculate that. That would be interesting too. But anything like this program here, the Compromise of Arrears program, sounds like all 50 states can do that. But one thing I just want to say.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say one thing that this program doesn't do is forgive entire debt. They don't forgive the entire debt, and they don't change the monthly child support obligations either. And the compromise arrears owed to the custodial parent, it doesn't do that. And the compromise spousal support arrears, it doesn't have anything to do with that. But the amount that you owe to the state can be negotiated on in California. And I just think that if they're doing it in California, there's got to be something that reaches all states for that, even though they won't tell most people about it. They will get you in debt, but they will not tell you or help you give you any clues on how to get out.
I'm posting right now on the Child Support Hustle Facebook page the link to the state child support agencies with debt compromise policies. And they'll have a map on there that'll say what states have what programs, if the programs are rare, if the debt forgiveness is rare, all that. So I'm just going to post it, okay?
Yes, and it should, because I also read on this, when I was looking at this thing, I also read that is how to apply. They're not, you know, saying this is just California. They're saying that your local support agency has a staff that will be your partner, providing you guidance throughout the application process. This is probably something that's a federal law that blankets all of that, but they're not going to promote it at your local agency. So maybe you have to go in there and tell them that you want to apply,
right,
for this program. Uh-huh. Okay, we're going to take, Kenya, we're going to take a break right here, about a two or three minute break, and we'll be right back. I'm going to mute the mics, and we're going to take a break right here. We're going to listen to the child support song by Greg Gutty.
Custody and they ain't providing your needs.
Okay, we back, and in this show we've been talking about debtors' prisons and arrears, and we also touched on Turner versus Rogers. I want to get back to talking about this arrearage and how they don't look at this from an aspect on how income disparities affect the relationship you have with a child. And I think we need some of this human cost put back into this right here, because a lot of times people get to the point where, okay, this is about the money and that's it. They don't want to hear any other human aspect of this. They don't care about you going on with your life and maybe marrying and having another family. They don't care anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, another thing too, the Supreme Court, they just did a ruling, they just had a ruling, 3-4 years ago, but it's still not enough to end debtors' prison, even though they were outlawed almost 200 years ago, and they made it clear, 30 years ago they made it clear, about 30, 40 years ago, it was about 30, and it was 1983. Where judges, the Supreme Court made it clear that judges cannot send people to jail just because they are too poor to pay the court fine. And that's really all this is when it comes to the child support arrearage. You know, they bring people in and want them to come up with a large amount of debt that they have really spiked up through the interest rates that they charge.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have it, they go to jail and they violate. And that decision was in Bearden versus Georgia, and which held that a judge must first consider whether the defendant has the ability to pay, and be willfully refuses to pay. Now that's something very hard to prove, and if when it comes to being in a court, but if a court really looked, if these judges were honest, and if these caseworkers were honest and took an honest look, then you're not going to find anybody that has the money and is just willfully saying they're not going to pay it. They're just labeling people willfully not paying it. They're going to make you have it whether you actually have it or not in real life.
That's true. I don't know if you saw this video out of Louisville, Kentucky. It's been going around. I put it on the Facebook page, and it's been on Facebook. But the judge, the dad is in jail. He's been in there for 8 days. He goes in front of the judge and just says, so what's changed in his financial situation? I mean, and he's like, well, I still don't have everything that he didn't have 8 days prior. He still didn't have because he was in jail. So, and the judge really berated him as like that was his fault. How is he supposed to make money in jail? And he said he was going to, you know, punish him, and there was 60 other parents over in the other jail for child support. All these parents, I'm sure, did not have their right to due process before they were incarcerated. So if they're locked up, how are they going to pay?
And also, while they're there, we know the interest is going to continue.
That's right.
And
that's
the payment
right.
is still going to be due. The payment is going to due. One way to stop them from jailing people like that maybe would be to suspend it. If you're incarcerated, it should be suspended. But they're leaving this ability to pay and willfully not paying left up to for judges to determine. Judges now have to determine who can and who cannot afford to pay their fines and fees. And oftentimes, as a probation officer or a court official like a DHR worker will make a recommendation based on an interview with the defendant. And then, and a lot of times, they won't believe that defendant. If you tell this person, look, I do not have this money, you know, I've known cases where people be in court, and not the judge, but the caseworker will point out the type of clothing a person is wearing. You know, people are afraid to even dress with respect coming in there, because if you try to put on your best Sunday suit, they're going to come in there and look at you like you're crazy.
Right. You got money for a suit, but you don't have money for the it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They'll
tell people and I've seen and heard, I've heard a judge tell a person to stop smoking, and another person told me, a judge told them that they should give up their phone service. Then how is that person supposed to talk to the child? You know, in
right.
the kind of world we live in, where there's shootings, there's bombings, and all these type of things, you have got to have, you. Everybody needs a phone. They even giving out government phones. I mean, what the hell are they talking about? Give up your phone and use the money to pay the court debt. They'll tell people, they also go the extortion route, too, you know.
Yeah.
By telling people to get it from family members. When you know, when you go to jail, it's gonna be family trying to hustle up that money and get you out. They're basically playing extortion. And once
right.
you do it, these people they're very calculated. If they jail you and you come up with the $1,000 or $2,000 you may need because your family know that you are trying to work, you just happen to be behind and didn't have that arrears payment, they're going to come up with that money, you know, that you can, that they'll want you to pay them back. But once you do that, they're going to do that over and over. Every so often, they're going to bring you there back and demand extortion payment.
That's like with Jay, the father that we had on the show. They came in and kicked his door in and arrested him for that debt. And then a month later, after he paid to get out, they're back on with the same warrant. So just what you're saying, it'd just be repeating.
Yeah, and, you know, some judges would even tell people, like I said, they'll tell them to get it from their family members. They'll tell them to use temporary aid to needy family checks. They'll even They'll tell them to use the Social Security, disability income, veterans benefits, or other welfare checks to pay their court fees first before going to jail.
And that veterans that are being garnished out of their compensation, disability compensation that's being garnished is not supposed to be garnished. I get a lot of veterans that reach out to us for help, and for some reason, that's another violation that nobody seems to care about, and nobody's trying to fix the situation. That money is not supposed to be garnished unless retirement is included in that payment. If it's just disability compensation from the VA, that's not supposed to be touched for child support or otherwise.
Yeah, I fault some of these judges for not doing enough to find, you know, different alternatives, you know, to fees and this interest and arrears and stuff to people that are impoverished, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see them assign somebody to some community service, or if they can't pay, not going to jail. You know, that would save the taxpayers money, and community service would be a good thing to do. And they have the power. They can waive some of these things. But we need to tell more people about, make sure we, and I want to make sure I do it too. I'm going to encourage people in my area of influence to check out that Compromise of Arrears program, to go into your local office. And if they don't, you know, they might can run into some legal issues themselves.
Right,
because they definitely are not telling people. You don't hear anything about it, how to help the non-custodial person with this accruing arrearage and all this other stuff. Hold on, we got a phone call. Let's see who we got on the line here.
Okay.
Hey, you on the Child Support Hustle Show? Who we got on the line?
Oh, hey, Kenya.
Hi.
Hey, it's Chuck. From Michigan.
Hey, Chuck, from Michigan, how are you?
Well, I'm not doing too bad today. How about you guys? We're doing pretty good. Well, I figured I'd better call in because, you know, I did tell you guys that go ahead and, you know, use the situation that I'm going through, which you're well aware of.
Yes.
I haven't heard anything back yet, which I didn't really expect to this soon.
Well, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit, just briefly about your situation, Chuck?
Well, the situation started back in 2016. I received a letter from the front of the court that notice for case closure. I, at that time, was a full-time firefighter. I turned that paper over to payroll department probably 4 or 5 days before the 60 days was up, according to the letter for the closure. I got a call from payroll telling me that they had talked to the front of the court, and the front of the court told them no, that the case was not going to be closed. I made a phone call down to the front of the court to find out why. Basically was told that the case was not going to be closed because it was open for the mother of the child. I'm like, okay. Well, I didn't really think a whole lot about it. I pretty much I just put it on a back burner at that point. February 28th of this year, I was arrested on a bench warrant that cost me $2,900, $2,907 to be exact, to be released on bond. I kind of reverted back to that letter, and I had a whole bunch of correspondence with the mother, and I pretty much asked her numerous times. I said, did you ever receive any notification from the front of the court of any hearing regarding child support for you? She said, no. I said, did you get any kind of a notice of a hearing, any notice that there was a support order, any case that was opened for you? She's like, no. I said, okay, well, that's good enough. Just so everybody is, you know, is clear, and Kenya, you could probably clarify this, it doesn't matter if either or parent is getting, you know, the temporary needy for the needy families, you know, any TAMP money. They still have to notify you of any hearing, correct?
Right, correct.
Regardless, they have to give you a notice of a hearing.
Yes.
Okay. According to the mom, and I've sent text messages that I received from her, copied off Facebook messages that I received from her regarding this, the conversation. Numerous times I've asked her. The friend of the court will not close the case. She received absolutely zero notification of any type of hearing regarding any support order. I didn't. I didn't initiate any support because when I got custody of my son in 2008, I plainly put on page 3 of the custody papers that I was not seeking support from the mother.
Right.
And she regained custody back in 2012. So, you know, I only had him for 4 years. She got back, I guess, in somewhat of a normal lifestyle out of an abusive relationship, whatever the case may be. I did send in that complaint to Office of Child Support Enforcement along with a copy of page 3 from our custody paperwork and all the messages that, you know, of correspondence the mother and I had together, and a copy of that letter of notice of closure. So
we're still waiting to hear back.
Yeah, it's just a waiting game now. And
do you
pretty
still
much
have a warrant? Do you still have a warrant?
That's for the other county, which that is a whole other nightmare that I've been researching. Mm-hmm. I actually messaged Carnell and inquired about it because, see, the mother of that child, which is another case, she waited 3 years to inform me of anything to serve me with, you know, presumption of paternity. Her ex-husband, although he was excluded as the birth father, was put on the birth certificate from day one and is still on the birth certificate to this day. So I asked Carnell if, you know, if he should be responsible for the first 3 years, those 3 years of child support, instead of me being racked for over $14,000 in arrears right off the bat.
Right. Because they go back retroactively with the date of the order, correct?
At that time, they did. To my understanding now, they don't do that anymore.
No,
okay.
Yeah, but see, there's other cases. I know of a case here in Alabama where they didn't go back like retroactively when they went back to when the child was born. Not the case. They went back to when the child was born. The mother had put the child on someone else. And then when the truth came out, when they found out who it really was, they went as far back as they could on the person that didn't even know.
Antonio Parkinson up there in Tennessee, he passed a law where they could only go back 5 years retroactively.
Yes.
So I guess it varies from state to state. But why should you be on the hook, Chuck? Because if the child was taken care of the first 3 years by the ex-husband, correct?
You know, I don't know what the living situation was at that time. I wasn't, you know, her and I went our separate ways, and I wasn't even informed that she was, you know, I'm sitting at my house, and a friend of mine who was a deputy, he called me on my phone and said, "Hey, we've got some papers here for you. Can you come down to the, you know, department and pick them up?" I'm like, "What kind of papers?" He's like, "I don't know. We just have papers here. Can you come pick them up?" So I went down there and I looked at the name on the paperwork, and then, you know, I was drawing a blank. It had been, you know, that long since I'd, you know, even heard the name. And then a couple of days later, it clicked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I went to the hearing. DNA was done. They told me I had to take a DNA test. And so, you know, not knowing, being, you know, ignorant of the law, I did the DNA. And as soon as the results came back, it was like, bam, you're over $14,000 in arrears.
That is
wow.
So wrong, because you didn't know, you didn't even have the opportunity to provide X amount of dollars to your child. It was through no fault of your own. So why?
Right.
I'm just making a point. Why should you be penalized when you didn't even know? That anybody shouldn't pay the money. It should be the mother. She knew. That's just, I mean, I know that's not how it's going to happen, but that's what makes sense. It's not your fault.
If you didn't
know, how could you do anything?
Right.
Okay, you didn't know, but was she telling someone else that they was the father? Is that what you're saying?
You know, I don't know what was said. Like I said, we lost contact
because we split up. Yeah, I was just saying,
and
she was telling someone else that they was the father, and then you didn't know, and then they come back, you know, maybe she's committed paternity fraud.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, because, like I said, her ex-husband, although he was excluded as, you know, the biological father through DNA, his name has been on the birth certificate from day one. My name isn't even on the birth certificate to this day.
If his name was on the birth certificate before he had the paternity test, she did commit paternity fraud.
Yes, she did. Mhm. I wonder how we can get if we can work together and try to get the arrears erased. What you were talking about, Marcus, because those.
Yeah, the compromise of arrearage program. And I want to tell Chuck to go to the page and keep up with the page, because we're coming up on just a few, about 30 seconds for the end of the show. Chuck, you need to check out the ChildSupportHustle.com and the Child Support Hustle Facebook page. Kenya just posted some things on there about this program that should be nationwide.
but you can negotiate with what you owe the state, all that arrearage, which really is what is really ballooned up debt.
Right. Well, Kenya and I correspond. Yeah, yes. We have each other's contact information, so, you know.
We're just waiting to hear back for the first case, but we